Hey everyone, and welcome to The White Flag, a podcast about surrendering to Jesus in our hurried, manic, control-obsessed world. I'm your host, Jonathan Moynihan, and once again, I just want to take a couple minutes and talk with you about a way that we can actively get off the endless treadmill of spiritual burnout and just find rest and joy by surrendering to Jesus and learning how to do that well. And in an interview coming up, we're going to get to dive into specifically why this is not just about spiritual wellness, that it's actually about spiritual service, that out of the overflow of connecting with God well, we actually make the biggest difference out into the world. But in today's episode, I want to take a moment and just talk through something, a way that I have failed recently that actually brought me back to some classic truths of Jesus and of Scripture that have just been really helpful for me as I continually address and reform and reshape the ways in which I connect with God. Before we dive into it, though, I would love to hear from you. You can always reach me on Instagram at jonathan.moynihan. I'll be ending my sort of fast from social media in the coming days, so if you hit me up there, I'll see you. But also, I would love to hear from some of you by contacting me via the website, jonathanmoynihan.com. There's a hit me up button there. I've heard some really cool things from some of you over the last couple weeks about spirituality for parents of young kids, or even just the benefit of learning how to pray to God angrily. And just as this community continues to grow, if God has been at work in your life through this platform, and really it's not about me, it's about what God is doing in your life, I would just love to hear it and just be encouraged, and even just encourage my wife in some of the ways that she lets me work on stuff like this late at night, but sometimes it cuts into what we do. Again, you can hit me up at my website, jonathanmoynihan.com, or you can reach me on Instagram at jonathan.moynihan. All right, so going into today's conversation, one thing you should know about me is I'm not much of a puzzle guy. Like, seriously, I don't do puzzles. I don't like them. I don't find them soothing or therapeutic like some people. All a puzzle is to me is basically a time where I have to pay attention to tiny details for a very long time, where I myself or the people I'm with are kind of blocked off from meaningful conversation because we're so focused on finding the right thing, finding the right piece or whatever. And some of you might be saying, well, John, you don't have to be silent while you do puzzles. Like, I like doing puzzles with my family and we talk. Well, that's great for you. But the truth is, you don't know how bad I am at details. Like, to do a puzzle, it takes an incredible amount of focus for me. And it makes it so I'm not able to talk to other people. So I've just never, ever, 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 ever been a puzzle guy. I think the most advanced puzzles I do are the ones with my four-year-old because they're simple and easy and enjoyable. So anyway, I'm not a puzzle guy. I don't do crosswords, don't do word searches, don't do Sudoku, any of that stuff. It's never intrigued me. That is, it's never intrigued me until a few weeks ago, when one of my best friends, shout out to Brian Lomax, introduced me to this online puzzle game called Wordle, spelled W-O-R-D-L-E. And there's a good chance at this point you've probably heard somebody talk about this game because it's gotten so popular. In fact, I read this morning that the New York Times bought Wordle, and I hope they don't monetize it because I love that it's free. But last week alone, 2 million different people went online and played this word game called Wordle. And it's a simple, dumb little puzzle. If you're a big puzzle person, you'll probably think it's really simple. But for me, obviously, it's something I enjoy. But the premise is you get 6 chances to guess a 5-letter word. And it's hard to explain, but super simple to play. If you want to play it, just Google the word Wordle, W-O-R-D-L-E, and you'll find it. And you'll probably thank me for introducing you, or you'll hate me for introducing you. That's on you. Now, one of the interesting things about this game that I've gotten really into is that you can only play it once a day. So after you complete the puzzle, or don't complete it, there's an option where you can share your result with somebody, but then that's the only time you get to play the game for the whole day. And I'm on like 3 text threads with family and friends and coworkers where we share our results with other people. But the thing that makes it really intriguing is that the game is super addicting. Like, once you finish it, you want to go play another time. Like, people would surely play this game for hours on end. But the developer of the game made it so that the puzzle only gets released once a day at midnight. And so, you know, sometimes I'll pick up my phone in the morning and I'll have texts from people who've already done it because they stayed up super late or they got up right away and did it at 6 a.m. I mean, one time my wife was up late with our newborn, Indy, and it was like 12:05 a.m. And I woke up in the morning. I had a text from her at like 12:10 because she was up doing the Wordle. Like, she was just so excited to do it because she knows you only get to do it once a day. And so there's even like this weird longing for it because you can only do it once a day. Anyway, what's all this got to do with submitting and surrendering to Jesus, you might be wondering? How does Wordle come into play in the area of becoming more like Jesus? Well, I got so sucked into this Wordle vortex last week that I found myself going to bed excited about waking up and playing Wordle the next day. Like, seriously, I'm not a puzzle guy, but I woke up excited to play it again. And what happened was, to me, I did my normal routine like I normally do. I lay out my clothes in the bathroom. I put my phone in the bathroom so it's charging, so it makes me get out of bed when I wake up. I would set up my AeroPress of coffee supplies out on the counter, and I'd prep my gooseneck kettle filled with water so I could like make a really nice hand-ground, you know, coffee for myself in the morning. That's just part of my normal routine. It slowly prepares me to spend time with God in the morning. It really kind of wakes me up and makes me alert for connecting with Jesus. So I did all that like I normally do, but then I went to sleep really excited about playing Wordle. And so the next morning comes, I wake up, I get dressed, I go down to make my coffee, and lately it's been Stumptown Coffee from Portland, specifically their Holler Mountain Bean. It's delicious. I highly recommend it. You can buy it on Amazon. And I'm not sponsored by them, by the way. Just know that it's a really, really good roast. But I wake up, I'm excited to play Wordle, I do all this stuff. Now, I know that I'm supposed to go spend time with God first, but I'm still really excited to play Wordle. So I go downstairs, I'm making my coffee, I'm hand grinding my beans, and cognitively, I'm thinking, I want to play Wordle. And I know it's a bad idea. I hadn't stepped into my prayer time yet. I haven't studied scripture. I haven't journaled. I was just waiting there for my coffee to finish grinding. I was waiting to make it. But after kind of getting the coffee going, and I'm just waiting about a minute and 15 seconds, because that's how long you wait for the AeroPress, in that minute and 15 seconds, I just couldn't resist, and I whipped out my phone. And I whipped up my phone before spending time with God, which goes against all the rhythms that I have in place for myself and many of the rhythms that I've sort of preached about here on the podcast. But while making coffee, I stood there, got my phone out, and started playing Wordle in the morning. And I don't remember a thing about the puzzle that day. But what I do remember is the sensation of like giving in to the dopamine rush of picking up my phone, knowing that I probably shouldn't, and giving in to the impulse of playing this game. And what happened next, for me, not surprisingly, in retrospect, not surprisingly, my time with God after getting out my phone and playing that game instead of waiting to do it till after I connected with God, not surprisingly, my time with God that morning wasn't very good. And I don't mean good in the sense of like it being productive or something like that. I think it's really important that we don't try to grade the quality of our time with God, or we try to moralize whether or not it was good or bad or anything like that. I think we need to learn to just be with Him. But what I mean is, when I say it wasn't good, is that my time with God wasn't good because I wasn't present. My time with God that morning was not good because I was not present. And the crazy thing is all I did that morning differently than normal was I just happened to pick up my phone, click the Google Chrome app, type in the word Wordle in my search bar, and then click the link and then do the puzzle, which maybe took me 5 minutes. It's not that big a deal. But what happened after was my brain, having got momentum in some unique directions from problem solving and thinking of words and thinking about who I'd share my score with, and even the split second that I saw a few thumbnails on my phone from the headlines of the day, just those few moments of engaging my brain digitally and trying to do a puzzle before I spent time with God, all those little things I did got my brain going in like 15 different directions. And it directly impeded my ability to be fully present and focused with God. Like, I, knowing that I shouldn't do it, knowing that it wouldn't be beneficial to get my phone out and just play the game real quick before spending time with God, I still chose to play Wordle before my time with God. And like, seriously, it genuinely hindered the quality of my presence as I went to be with God, because my mind ended up going all over the place. And I ended up journaling about it at the end of my time with God, because I was thinking a lot of that, you know, the early time of rest and quiet and just slowly stepping into reading the Bible, maybe reading a few Psalms, making the posture of my heart ready to engage with God, all of that went out the window because my mind was already going. And by the end of my time with God, I was thinking about, you know, problems I wanted to solve at work and interpersonal conflict I'm navigating between friends and things in my life that make me anxious. And the thing is, all this stuff that I was feeling energy about, I naturally bring to God in my time of silence and solitude. But because I did something else before my time with God, because I got Wordle out and I had my phone out and did all that stuff, it's like all these emotions and thoughts got let out of the bag before I had calmed and quieted myself before God. So it felt like I was coming to God in a bit of a panic or something, instead of bringing these things up in the peace and safety that comes from knowing you're in God's presence. And the thing is, like, on the outside, I didn't look any different. I was still in my dining room, in my seat, with like my candle behind me, with my coffee, with my journal, my Bible, and like this liturgical book that I do. Now, everything looked the same on the outside. But on the inside, it felt very different. Like, I felt like a more stressed out, anxious person, a more anxious presence in my time with God. And listen, I know some of you listening to me kind of, you might be thinking that I'm playing up the distractions I got from just touching my phone or doing a puzzle this one time before my quiet time. And part of that might be that the very idea of waking up first thing in the morning and spending time with God and having no interruptions, some of you hear me say that and think it's an absolute luxury you can't afford, especially if you've got parents of young children. I get it. And that's why I did that episode to kick off 2022. If you have young kids and you haven't listened to it, I'd encourage you to go back and listen to that episode about how to grow your faith when you have young children in your life nipping at your heels all the time. But I want to be honest with you. I am not playing up at all how weird and scattered I felt in that time with God and the subsequent days after, because I did something that I know I shouldn't be doing, and I did something that kind of got in the way of me bringing my full self to God. See, the truth is, whether you have the capacity to make the very first thing you do in the morning spend time with God or not, as followers of Jesus, the truth is, we get in our own way when we start our day with anything other than connecting with our Heavenly Father. I'm going to say that again. As followers of Jesus, we get in our own way if we start our day with anything other than connecting with our Heavenly Father. And that's something that I realized kind of coming out of some other observations about my morning rhythms, but specifically this Wordle thing really brought it to the surface. Because for the next few days, even after I played Wordle, that one morning where I played Wordle before connecting with God, the next few days, that impulse within me was increasing. Like, every single day, I had to like distance myself more from my phone to prevent me from wanting to play this dumb little puzzle that takes 2 minutes just in the morning, just real quick. It's not like it consumes my whole day. It's not a big thing. I don't even think it's a bad thing to do. But it was a jolt for me to realize that I had sort of been lying to myself and getting in my own way of allowing myself to do some things before connecting with God, like maybe checking the sports scores, or maybe checking to see if I have a text from anybody, or maybe checking my email even. I know, I always tell people not to do that, but I'm guilty of it sometimes. But I had to be honest about the jolt that it gave me to kind of violate my own integrity of what I know I ought to be doing and remember the simplicity of the words of Scripture about why it's so important to connect with God in the morning. There is a reason that this is a major theme throughout the Bible, and there's a reason that we see it modeled by Jesus, that connecting with God first thing in the morning is just this massive theme we see throughout the Bible. Psalm 5:3 says, "In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait expectantly." Psalm 143, verse 8 says, "Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I entrust my life." And then most importantly, we see Jesus in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 35. It says, "Before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray." And this is something we've probably heard before, like, hey, the best time to connect with God is in the morning. Throughout Scripture, we see the importance of bringing God our firsts, you know, the first portion of your income so you can be generous. Bring the first portion of our day so we can bring our most present self into God's presence. And I know this isn't like groundbreaking for people, but this whole tension with Wordle for me has just been a major reminder that I can't stray away from the basics. I can't stray away from being like Jesus and just trying to, before I do anything else in my day, make sure that I am planning, crafting, and fighting for time with God to be the very first thing I do when I awake, so that any problem, any emotion, any tension, anything I want to celebrate, all of it that stirs up within me as I come to awake for the day, that I'm bringing all of that under the banner of God's grace and truth in my life by being in his presence through prayer. Now, real quick, I'm not saying like you wake up and you don't put on your clothes or you don't put on your glasses or brush your teeth or make a cup of coffee. I'm not saying that. But you know there are things in your life that maybe feel small, like a dumb word puzzle, that are actually stirring up your brain and enabling it to get momentum in a direction that deters you from connecting with your Heavenly Father. And so the question I want to ask is the one I've been asking myself lately. Where in your spiritual walk do you need to get out of your own way? You know, I said that line earlier that as followers of Jesus, we get in our own way if we start our day with anything other than connecting with our Heavenly Father. And so where in your life are you getting in your own way of trying to grow in the ways that you've said you want to grow? Where in your pursuit of spiritual disciplines or just connecting with God, do you need to get out of your own way the same way I have to get out of my own way when it comes to that dumb word puzzle? Is there a place in your walk with Jesus where you feel stuck? Is it your prayer time, your journaling, reading and reflecting on scripture? Taking care of your body physically, pursuing community, being vulnerable with other people, maybe making generosity a priority, or maybe even just gathering with the church on a Sunday is an area where you feel stuck right now. Is there an area that you feel stuck? And please know I'm saying this with humility and tenderness towards myself because I have been sucking at this. Is there an area where you feel stuck where you need to actually just get out of your own way and go back to the basics? I think this very episode could be an opportunity for you to evaluate the ways you're not bringing your firsts or your best self to God. And I'm kind of picking on like that early morning quiet time rhythm just because it's so fundamental for me. It kind of builds off of everything. It's a keystone habit in my spiritual walk that makes sure everything else falls into place. But maybe right now you need to make an actual adjustment in your life's rhythm to meet with God first and foremost every day before you get going, so that you can bring these things that you feel stuck about to God with your full, present, authentic self and allow him to shape you and help you in the ways you feel stuck. As I was thinking about this episode and just reflecting on how much I know I cannot do anything before connecting with God, especially with my phone, because it just gets my brain going a bunch of different ways, I was reminded of this over the weekend playing with my son, Indiana. He is almost 7 months old, and he's crawling all over the place. He pulls himself up and tries to stand, and then he's not strong enough, so he falls down and hits his head. And it's kind of a nightmare because he's super independent, but also like very much on the brink of hurting himself sometimes. So my wife and I have to be very in tune with where he is all times. But the other day, he was trying to crawl to some toy, and he was like straddling this chair. Like he had the chair kind of stuck between his arm and his leg, and he kept trying to get to this toy, and he couldn't get there because he was physically like entangled into this chair and just blocked. And he kept trying to thrust himself forward. He kept hitting it with his shoulder, and he was acting as if there was a cosmic force preventing him from getting what he wants. Like he was so mad he couldn't get to this toy, and he's just wailing and crying and all that stuff. And I was looking at him like, buddy, just move your foot. Like get out of the way. You are in your own way. Just get out of the way, and you'll be able to go get a toy. And I give that illustration sort of to end here because I just want to pose to you the thought that there might be an area where we are all like my son there, where there's an outcome we want, there is a new reality for our spiritual health that we want to experience, but we're in our own way. We're allowing ourselves to do things in the morning before connecting with God, and we're not bringing our best self. There's areas we want to grow spiritually where we just know we aren't doing the tough work to think about the decisions we make the night before and how they could set us up for success to have a great morning. I even think about people I've shepherded and pastored over the years, like one friend who was frustrated he couldn't find a girl of quality and of character who really wanted to walk with Jesus. But then when I asked him where he was trying to meet women, he was going out to bars on Saturday nights. And I'm like, bro, you're probably not going to find the woman who loves Jesus in that setting. No offense, ladies, but you know what I'm saying. I think about the person who, you know, is struggling with money and they can't pay for a vacation, but they're driving around a $500 a month lease vehicle. And it's like, there's just some areas where we need to get out of our own way if we want to see the outcome we really desire. And it really comes down to this conviction. I think we have more of a say in the areas we feel stuck than we care to admit. And again, all of this is just sort of the overflow of reflection and just being honest with myself about how out of sorts I felt for several days because I chose to do some small thing. And it draws me back to the basics of just giving God my best, my first in the morning, and being like Jesus in Mark 1:35. There's a part of me that would want to just be discouraged about my lack of presence and just say, maybe God wasn't there, maybe he's not meeting with me and stuff like that. But I made a decision to have God be second, to be in second place that day by doing something else. And it affected me, and it hindered my presence with God. I know God was there, but it hindered my presence with him. And so I just want to pose to you this question of where might that be true for you? Maybe it's not Wordle, maybe it's something else, but where in your life is there something that you can actively remove this week so you can take one step closer to giving God your first and your best time tomorrow? And it may still mean that you're not connecting with God till like 9 o'clock because you've got young kids, or it may mean that you've got, like, I've got a friend who's an executive for a multinational corporation, and he's got to be up at 6 answering emails, so his reality is going to be different than mine. But what is something you can actively do to get one step closer to giving God your best, your first, and honoring that theme of Scripture of connecting with the Lord in the morning as best you can, not after you've thought through a bunch of stuff, but before you do? So all those emotions that come to the surface, you know, you bring to him and ask him to go to work on. I do think the first thing we do in the morning should be connecting with God in prayer and in Scripture and in quiet. We see this modeled and prescribed by Jesus, and I think it's just a huge basic way for us to grow. And so Wordle may not be the thing that makes you feel strewn about and distracted like me, but I'm sure you've got something. And I know God wants to help you face it so that you can connect with him, you can rely on him, you can grow in him, and you can become more like Jesus. So let's take a step this week. Let's actively do something different so that we can bring God our best, our first in the morning, and see how we might bring our more present and full self so that throughout the day we walk in step with him, so that we can make the world around us look more like the light of Christ and the hope that he gives. Thanks so much, y'all. Appreciate you. Hope you guys are able to take a step. Would love to hear what you do or what you give up, or even just how starting to meet with God first thing in the morning makes a big difference in your life. But be well, and I'll talk to you guys again next week. Peace.